Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. You'll be very glad to know that this morning I took about one whole paragraph out of my message. So it's shorter than it was when we started. You didn't know that, did you? Matthew chapter 4 tells us about the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness. And this morning, I'm just going to focus on the last of the three temptations that are recorded. I may go back next Sunday and get that other paragraph and preach on the rest of them. But for today, it will just be the last one. Let's read Matthew chapter 4, the first 11 verses. Then when Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto them, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. In the last temptation that we read, the last of the three temptations, Jesus was offered a crown. There were three crowns. There may have been more, but there were three crowns that I could find in Scripture that were offered to Jesus. And I want to talk about those crowns this morning. The first crown is the crown of Satan. Matthew chapter 4 again, verses 8 and 9. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Satan wanted Jesus to worship him, and in order to tempt him to do that, or to get him to do that, he offered him the temptation of a crown. He said, I will crown you. I will make you ruler. I'll give you all the kingdoms of the earth, all that you can see. I'll give it to you if you will worship me. I wanted to talk about that for just a minute this morning. Like all temptation, it is deceptive. And because it's deceptive, it's attractive. It's inviting. On the surface, it seemed like a pretty good thing for Jesus to be made king of the world, right? I mean, after all, if he could be made king right at this moment, he could avoid all the suffering of the cross. He could just make people, force people, listen, I'm the king, you're going to do what I say. You're going to obey me, you're going to obey God, that's the end of it, game over, I'm in charge. On the surface, that doesn't sound too bad. But part of the point of Jesus being tempted was so that he could understand exactly how we feel when we are tempted. I've had people say, well, you know, Jesus, talk about the temptation in the wilderness, and you know, he's the Son of God, he wasn't really tempted, he just went, no, that's not true. He was really tempted. The temptation of the crown to be king of the world was a real temptation for Jesus Christ. He did that intentionally so that he would understand how we feel when we are tempted, and then show us how to handle that and what to do. So I want you to understand that Jesus was truly tempted to receive this crown, to receive the kingdoms of the world, and to impose his will. But he refused this crown. I think there's at least a couple of reasons. I'm sure there are many, and he tells us about one. But there were a couple of reasons that he refused this crown. First of all, it simply meant it would mean disobeying God. He said in Matthew chapter 4, verse 10, his Jesus' response to Satan's temptation, It is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Now, you know what We do. And I know you do this because I do the same thing, and I'm just like you. And Jesus, don't forget this, when Jesus was in the wilderness being tempted of Satan, he was just like us. He was human. So this is what we would think. Well, wouldn't it be a good thing to be made king of the world to receive this crown? Just for one little indiscretion, just one little moment of sin, I could become king and I could make everybody obey God. Don't you think Jesus thought that? Well, just for one little moment. All I got to do is just bow down one time and I'll be king of the world. And then I can go back to serving the Lord, serving God and doing His will. And I can make everybody do what I want to do. Sounds pretty good, right? But to worship anybody or anything, even one time, even for just an instant, is sin. It is disobedience to the Word of God because it says we're to worship the Lord thy God and Him only are we to serve. And nothing good ever comes from sin. Nothing good ever comes from disobedience to God. All of our lives are proof of that. As Christians, we can look back on those times when we were living in disobedience to God. We can think of those times maybe after we got saved when we disobeyed God, and we know that nothing good came from it. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, you can look at your life and you can see that nothing good is coming from disobeying God. Sin never brings good things, and to worship anybody or anything, even for just a moment, is disobedience to God. It is sin. Jesus also refused this crown because Satan cannot be trusted. Would you listen to? If you don't get anything else out of this message this morning, I hope you get this. Satan cannot be trusted. John chapter 8, verse 44. The Bible says, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do." He, the devil, he was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Listen, you can't trust the liar. We all know that, don't we? If you have a friend or a family member, somebody in your life who is a liar, you know that you can't trust them. You want to. You want to believe them. You want to trust them. You want to think the best of them. But you know somewhere deep down in your mind, in your heart, I don't think I can trust them. They're a liar. The Bible says that there is no truth in Satan. The Bible says that he is a liar and the father of lies. You can't trust him. He wouldn't have given, Satan would not have given the kingdoms of the world to Jesus if Jesus had bowed down to worship him, because Satan is a liar. He was lying. As a matter of fact, they weren't even his to give. He said, "I'm the ruler, I will give it to you." But God said, "I am sovereign. I control." God controls Satan. So the very temptation was a lie. Satan knew that. Jesus knew that. And knew that Satan couldn't be trusted. So he didn't yield to this temptation. Now, I want you to understand something. Satan is still lying to people today because Satan is still active today. And he can't help but lie. The first thing that he does for us as Christians, you know, the temptation to sin comes, and he'll lie to us, and he'll say, "Now listen, one little sin won't hurt." First of all, there is no little sin. Secondly, one usually leads to another. And thirdly, even one little sin hurts. Now, he's going to tell you, it don't matter, it'll be all right, nobody, no, it'll be, but every sin, causes pain, causes suffering, causes destruction. Satan is a liar. Don't trust him. Now, for those who are here this morning and unsaved, Satan's probably telling you, "Oh, you don't need to be saved. Listen, you're not that bad of a person. Why, there's lots of people worse off than you are. There's lots of people who have done a lot worse things than you have. You're a good person. You're a good guy. You're a good woman. You're kind and you're giving and you're active in the community or whatever it might be. You don't need to be saved. All this stuff about everybody sinning, that's all just a lie. Don't worry about it. Romans chapter 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." You know what we're going to do today, every one of us here this morning? You know what we're going to do? We're going to decide who to believe. We're either going to believe the Word of God or we're going to believe the Word of Satan. And we already know Satan is a liar. Your lives prove it. The lives of all the people in Scripture prove it. Satan's life itself proves that he is a liar. So who are we going to believe? The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You need to be saved if you haven't been saved. You need to be forgiven. Another lie or trick of Satan is he'll tell you, well, okay, maybe that part's true. Maybe that verse is true. Maybe everybody does need to be saved. Maybe you need to be saved. But listen, not right now. You know, you're young. Live it up. Enjoy life. You're middle-aged. Live it up. Enjoy life. You're just at retirement age, man. Live it up. Enjoy. You can get saved later. Wait. Listen, wait until you're just about to die and then get saved. I only want what's best for you. I just want you to have a good, fun, enjoyable life. That's what Satan tells people. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." Satan doesn't want what's best for you. He's a liar. Satan wants to devour you. Satan wants to destroy you. I'm going to tell you what Satan wants. He wants for you to come to hell with him. And if he can get you to wait, if he can get you to delay salvation, the longer you wait, the less likely you are to be saved. And who knows when the end of your life comes if you'll even have the opportunity to be saved. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, I want you to understand something. You are trusting your eternal soul to a liar. Is that wise? Satan is a liar. He can't be trusted. The second crown that Jesus was offered was the crown of the satisfied. In John chapter 6, we have the recording of the feeding of the 5,000. You know that Jesus fed 5,000 men, women, and children. There were 5,000 men plus the women and children, so there were probably 15,000 to 20,000 people there pretty easily. He fed them with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. You remember the story, the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. I want you to listen to what happened after the miracle. John chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. The Bible says, "Then those men, those 5,000 men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, 'This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world.' When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone." After those 5,000 men were fed, after they were satisfied by Jesus, they decided they were going to offer him a crown. "We're going to make you our king." The crown of the satisfied. "Boy, listen, we want you to be our king." And again, that sounds pretty good on the surface, doesn't it? Man, all these people, they want me to be their king. I can tell them what to do. I can tell them to serve God. I can tell them to be obedient. They want me to be their king. Sounds like a pretty good deal. But Jesus refused this crown also. For one thing, they didn't really understand who Jesus was. You'll notice that when I read that, they thought that he was that prophet, not the Son of God, not the Messiah, but that prophet. Jesus was much more than a prophet. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's the Son of God. He's the Savior of the world. And so he refused. He also refused because they thought of him as a supplier and not a savior. They said, "Well, listen, you've supplied food for our belly, and we didn't have to do a thing in the world for it." Right? They went out there and they listened to Jesus preach and teach all day long. They were out there. They didn't work. They didn't plant anything. They didn't harvest anything. They didn't throw a hook in the ocean. They didn't pull anything in. They didn't cook anything. All they did was sit down and eat. And boy, if you'll just keep doing that, if you'll be our supplier, you can be our king, and we'll follow you. I'm ashamed to say this, because Christians are included in this category. We often think of Jesus as our supplier, not our Savior. Right? Don't we? Let's be honest. When we want something, we go ask Jesus. Boy, and as long as He will supply our wants, man, we're gung-ho. I'm going to follow Jesus. But you let one of those wants go unsupplied, and then that Jesus thing is not quite as good a deal, is it? I think I'll just go my own way. I think I'll just do it myself. I wanted that. He wouldn't give it to me. He wouldn't supply it. I'm done. Listen, Jesus is not a bank, and He's not a shopping mall. He's not a hospital to make you better. He's not an ATM machine. He's not a car dealer. He's not a realtor. He's not a grocery store. He didn't come to supply our wants. Luke chapter 19 verse 10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." He came to be our Savior, not our supplier. Now I know, listen, I know that's not popular. Well, I know you can turn on the TV today when you go home, and you can listen to a certain minister, and he'll tell you everything's going to be fine, just have a positive attitude, just come to church, just pay your tithes, and God will just supply everything you want. You'll be rich and healthy and wonderful, and life will be grand. There's not a verse, listen to me closely, there is not a single verse in the Word of God that teaches that. Oh, but Pastor, now wait a minute, Pastor, the Bible says God will supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus, and yes, He will supply your need. Amen. And you know what we need? You know what we only need is a Savior. We only need to have our sins forgiven. Listen. Listen, we don't even need to live, but we need to be saved before we die. We don't need wealth. We don't need good health. We want, listen, I understand, we want good health. There's not a person in this congregation this morning that doesn't want good health. We don't like aches and pains and diseases. We want good health, but we don't need it. We can survive without it. But listen closely, we can die with it. We don't need to live. We don't need fame or fortune. We don't need any of that. We need a Savior. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. He's not our supplier. He's our Savior. So He refused the second crown. That brings us to the third crown and the only crown that Jesus received. That is the crown of suffering. Since before man was even created, God determined that one day man, whom He was going to create, would need a Savior. And God determined before man was ever created that Jesus Christ would be that Savior. And He determined that in order to save mankind, there must be suffering. And we see all of that plan and all of that come into fruition at the Garden of Gethsemane in Matthew chapter 26. Verse 39, "And He, Jesus, went a little further and fell on His face and prayed, saying, 'O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as Thou wilt.'" The cup that Jesus was talking about was the cup of suffering. The literal crown of thorns that would be placed on His head. The beating with the cat of the nine tails, the spitting, the mocking, the beating with the hands and the palms of the officers and the Roman guards, the humiliation of a public execution, the pain of the nails in His hands and in His feet, the death on the cross. That was the cup that Jesus was talking about. And he said, listen, if Father, if there's any other way, let's do it now. And God said, there's no other way. And Jesus said, okay, I'll take the crown of suffering. I thought about that this week. I thought about these three crowns as I was preparing this message. You know, of the three crowns, why in the world would Jesus receive the crown of suffering? There's only one answer. Because he loves you. Because you and I, we need a Savior. And the only way that our sins could be forgiven was for Jesus to accept the crown of suffering. The only way that we could be released from the condemnation of eternal death in hell for our sins is for Jesus to take the crown of suffering. The only way that we can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and we can, but the only way for that to happen was for Jesus to receive the crown of suffering. So because he loves you, he did. Now, can I ask you, who's trustworthy? Satan, who is a liar, Satan, who's made a mess out of your life, and Satan, who has made a mess out of this world, or Jesus Christ, who loves you enough to pay the price for your sins, to retake your crown of suffering? Would you stand with me this morning? Sheriff, if you'll just come and play a song, I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and be as quiet as you can for just a moment. Christian, I want to tell you this morning, I know that you know this, but I want to tell you, Jesus loves you. And because he loves you, you can trust him. And because he loves you and you can trust him, we need to be obeying him and serving him and worshiping him. Are you doing that today? Are you completely surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, Satan cannot be trusted. And the destiny of your eternal soul, you're putting in the hands of a liar. Jesus loves you. Jesus died for you. He rose from the grave for you. And he will forgive your sins if you'll ask him to. If you'll confess that you're a sinner and receive him as your Lord. If you have a need this morning, you come to the altar while Sheriff plays.